It worked out well, and then it came to a point where I got really burnt. I was burning out on the educational side of things, so, you know, every few years was, you know, that kind of happened prior to. And I realized that I have such high moral and ethical standards that I was finding it very hard to find a company or an organization or someone within the field of what I'm doing that embodied the same as me. And if I can't do it right and I can't feel good about it, then I can't do it. I'm just one of those people that it doesn't sit well with me, and I'm very connected to my gut. So it's hard to stay in a toxic environment. I did it for as long as I needed to, but I said, that's it. Like, we've got, something's got to change. So I have an amazing and supportive husband. He's extremely, he is extremely empowering as a man. And as a husband, and we were in a place where I could do that. So he said, you know what? It's your turn. You've supported me. I'm where I want to be. I'm happy. And it's my turn to support you. So if this is what you want to do. And I said, I do.
Have you ever considered owning your own business? Are you an entrepreneur facing obstacles in your growth trajectory? Are you a successful business owner looking for like-minded individuals to connect with? If you're any of the above, the True 7 Life podcast is for you. You're listening to the True 7 Life podcast, a conversation where we showcase self-employed business heroes that have taken a leap of faith, bet on themselves, and are blazing trails in the entrepreneurial space. Thank you for listening in. We hope you enjoy the show.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good day, whenever it may be, True 7 Nation. Thank you for listening in. Today, we're still entrepreneurial. We're going to talk about life, family, and a whole host of other things. Our guest is a hard worker with a comprehensive background that includes a master's in marriage and family therapy, a doctorate in psychology, over 10 years experience in mental health from addiction to trauma. She's worked with nonprofits, private practices, and was a department head of psychology. She is a daughter, a wife, mother, business owner, and she has great arms. Please give a True 7 welcome to Dr. Christina Migliara.
Thank you for having me.
Coach Migs,
I like that part about my arms.
So listen, after all of that, you know, I don't feel like I'm doing you any justice by calling you coach sometimes after that big expansive resume.
Listen, the term coach is a very honorable designation, so I'm proud to wear that and proud to call myself that. So you can call me that.
Yeah, coaching, you know, there's a huge responsibility in coach. Some people, you know, they throw it around and take it lightly, but I know, not just based on your background, but from being one of your students or one of your team members, I know you take that coach moniker very seriously.
100%.
So today I'm going to weave in and out of the coach doctor monitor. I like saying doctor. I feel like it puts some respect on your name. So you may hear that.
I appreciate that.
But with all of that being said, I wanted to keep my intro professional. You are the second Gator that I've had on the show, unfortunately. And I won't talk bad about the Gators, but how is this particular Gator doing today?
This particular Gator is doing excellent. I'm alive. I have my health and my wellness, and that's always a good day.
Awesome. So we dropped a lot in the intro, and when we first met, you said you had more letters behind your name than you actually do in your name. I'm curious, why did you choose to go so far with your educational pursuits?
Well, I fell in love with psychology, and at that point, there's a whole lot more that goes with just getting a basic foundational degree in psychology. You have to start to specialize because the field is so broad. And I was very much drawn to marriage and family due to the nature of systemic thinking. I really think it's much more than just an individual in this linear thinking. So thinking about things and how we relate in terms of relationships as opposed to just a direct behavior and thinking. And while behavior and thinking does play a role, it's that relationship that we have with the people, the places, and the things in our lives that really make such a big impact. So I was really fascinated by that approach, and I went on for my master's. The doctorate became more of a interest in education. I wanted to keep doors open in the event that the clinical side of things got to be either overwhelming or I felt burnout. There's a high, you know, burnout rate in the mental health field. And so you really have to be mindful about being able to take care of yourself. And I never wanted to pigeonhole myself career-wise. It helps to, you know, have that title as well. And there's a lot that went on with that. And so I was able to take the doctorate and go into the education side of things, which, as predicted and as concerned, you know, about the future, I did hit a point in my career where I felt a little burnt out clinically and I wanted to change over and, you know, share my clinical knowledge in an educational realm. So I was able to utilize that, and that was great. And that's when I became the department head. And I did that for 8 years. And then, of course, when you're talking about the other certifications that I hold, you know, I worked in a number of different non-for-profit agencies and particularly addictions inpatient and outpatient facilities. I found a lot of my work with runaway and homeless teens, and addiction was a very common thing that would come up. So I felt it was important to have that knowledge to better help my clients. So I went for my addiction specialties, became nationally and state certified. And then in the last few years, I've taken my knowledge and really turned into trauma work. I have started to find a lot of trauma coming up in my cases. And so I'm sort of the mindset, when I see a need, I want to know more about it. So how can I best help you? Well, I need to get all that information and all that knowledge to be more equipped and comfortable to help you with whatever it is that you're going through. So trauma became a common theme, and there's lots of trauma going on. And I'm very happy that I did what I did, because number one, with what we're going on and what's going on now, what we're going through, trauma exists quite a bit. This is a very traumatic time in our lives, and it's proved to be very helpful in the work that I'm doing. And I've found trauma to be extremely rewarding. Being able to help people come from pretty much the darkest and deepest place that you can be in your life, and helping them to come out of that is extremely challenging, but it is so rewarding and freeing.
We were going to talk about this later, but I'm just curious. I'm on a board, and we talk about, with individuals appealing to their likes, their wants, and their needs. We always do the things we like to do. Sometimes we do the things we want to do, but less often we do the things that we need to do. A lot of what you offer, it's a need-based service, and it's something that individuals aren't raising their hand to say, hey, I need to go get this help. How do we, and I say we because I feel like I have a little bit of debt in it also, but how do we make it comfortable for individuals to say, hey, I have an issue, I need to go get help? How do we do that?
So that is a larger societal, you know, conversation, and a bigger conversation that we need to have. It starts with the leadership, right? So mental health has had a stigma attached to it for years. I mean, like a very, very long time. And we've done a really great job of helping to reduce that. Mm-hmm. There's lots of things that we've done, so I don't want to discredit that. Right. And I'm actually really happy with the momentum that we've gained in talking about mental health in a more positive light. And if anything comes good out of a bad situation with respect to what we're going through right now, it is and should be that mental health must be first. Must be first. If it is not first, then nothing else matters, because the mind will dictate what the body does, right? What the behaviors are. So if we can keep having that conversation, which we have been doing, you hear much more about it in terms of legislation. There's been a lot more advocacy. A lot of mental health professionals like myself are out there advocating for it. They're talking about it. We have platforms such as these podcasts and other forms of media outlets to have conversations to help normalize mental health, because it is very much a part of our wellness and our healthcare, and it should be included in the healthcare system. One of the great things that I've been seeing lately, and it's a big part of what we do here at the Elite Wellness Center, is talking about it in terms of like business owners. So I've noticed that there's a lot of companies that are creating wellness programs. So there's a big wellness push right now. In some places, it's a little bit more behind than in others, but there's a lot of areas where it is just it's a new norm. So you come with this company and they have a slew of benefits to promote wellness, and mental health is part of that.
Right.
A lot of companies are, you know, offering free mental health services to their clients. I particularly work with this one company, and they have contracts with a list of companies, and it's incredible. Where they deal with the providers, they find us, they hire us on, they do the interviews, they pay us through their contracts with the, you know, that they have with the company, and the company gives out X amount of sessions free as a benefit to their employees. And all they have to do is call in, you know, find out who the provider is in their area, find a licensed provider and tap in, and they can do telehealth in session. It doesn't matter. And it's covered 100%. So cost is a big concern for people. Mm-hmm. Mental health is not cheap in a lot of ways. It makes it hard to access it. So when your company goes, hey, I've got 20 free sessions, you need to go talk to someone and take care of yourself. You know, it's super important, because we know through all the research that, you know, if you're not mentally well, if you've got personal issues going on, it impacts your ability to be productive at work. And then the company suffers. So we at least have gotten to a point where we're on the same page about that. And I think because of that, we're starting to realize that mental health is really important, that the line between personal and work gets very blurred. Because if you're having an off day at home and you're, you know, arguing with your spouse, you can come in to your job, and then you're off at work. You're not, you know, performing like you should. Mm-hmm. And then the business suffers. So there is a lot of this coming to light, which has been just really phenomenal. So I hope that we keep the conversation going. There's been some stuff that has come out of the pandemic that I think people realize, like, hey, I'm not okay. I really need to talk to someone. And more people are saying, hey, that's normal. Like, go talk to someone. And we're just being really good advocates for it now. And I'm really happy about that. So I hope that this is not a trend, but rather a paradigm shift that becomes a lifestyle for us.
Yeah. But being a former athlete, I've always been interested in the mental aspects. And even before this pandemic, I feel like there was momentum going on in the mental health field. I don't know if it was just me paying more attention to what was going on in my body, but I feel like I was having more conversations with other individuals. And my former company, they have, as part of their benefits package, I think at least 2 sessions that they will pay for. But again, people are still somewhat reluctant to take advantage of it. So to your point, the more we can have the conversation, I think the better off we'll be. And it is gaining positive momentum. With that, the mental aspect of my background, I have a high level of appreciation for knowledge and awareness. And for me, not knowing that my mental health was having an impact on my output, I just didn't know. If you don't know, you don't know. So knowledge and awareness is a big thing, I think, when it comes to mental health and other things. What can be said about awareness when it comes to mental health, because a lot of people aren't aware how it could be negatively affecting them? And then the next point, I think you spoke to this a little bit, but from a holistic standpoint, what can be said? And you talked about, we're now having the conversations, society is changing how we look at it, but what can be said about an individual being aware or not being aware of the fact that something mentally could be going on that's affecting their behavior?
So yeah, if you know what you know and you don't what you don't, right? So if you don't think that there's anything wrong or anything to be aware of, then it's not on your radar to think that you should do any kind of intervention, which is part of the problem, because we have a very interventionist, you know, model. We only intervene when something is wrong or when there's a crisis. What we need to do is create this paradigm shift that says, let's talk about prevention. Right. Let's talk about lifestyle. And if we can make it a part of the conversation, a part of the lifestyle, part of the routine, then there's really no reason to be like, hey, look, you've got a problem. You should go talk to someone.
Let's make it where there's never a problem.
Let's make it so that it's just routine, that it's a check-in. So just like you would go for your regular checkups, when you start to slightly feel off, you go and you investigate it further. You don't wait till you're full-blown injured. You don't wait till you're fully, you know, on, you know, death's door or bedridden. You start to feel a little off. you might go and you might investigate that a little bit sooner. So when it becomes a part of our daily lives, just like getting up, brushing our teeth, all those things, going to the doctors, that's just one more doctor you want to include in that.
Right.
You know, it's part of the prevention piece. And that, you know, you intervene to bring the crisis down, to give the knowledge and hope that that will, create some prevention and more awareness in the future. So, yes, intervention has to play a role at some point. But we want to create more of a preventative way of life.
Yeah. So the same way you get two dental cleanings per year, at minimum, you should be having two checkups per year.
Yeah, let's talk about some mental health cleaning for sure. I like that.
Mental floss is what they call it. So the Elite Wellness Center, it's a different type of resort experience here. You touch many aspects of the body here at Elite Wellness. Talk to us about what all is under this roof here.
I love that you call it a resort because that's what we want you to feel. We want you to walk through the door as opposed to your traditional healthcare and not think of it so clinically and think of it more like resort, more peaceful, more relaxing.
You can be here all day, really.
Oh, yeah. We want you to feel like you never want to leave. But at some point, you're going to have to because we have our own families to go see. But we definitely want that that feeling when you walk through our doors, your shoulders just kind of drop. You can just kind of relax a little bit. So we've done a really good job of creating that here. And basically what it is it's myself. And currently we have two other women that are part of that. So there's four businesses total. And we have several projects in the works that we will divulge in the near future.
We're going to try to pull it out of her today. She's got some secrets that she's holding.
that are adding on to this wellness model that we've started with. And so when you come in, you have the mental health piece. You have the ability to access mental health services. You've got our CrossFit gym, which we feel is the preferred model of exercise. That's not to say that you can't do other forms, but I'll tell you a little bit about that in a second. But it is our preferred model due to the psychological component in nature. And then we have a sports and neuromuscular massage company. And then we have a nutrition company. So the four that we have is CrossFit Tailwinds, Coastwise Mediation and Therapy. Those are the two businesses that I own here. And then Sarah Guthrie owns Energy Balance Performance and Sam Cartina owns Nourish Lift Repeat. So you've got your nutrition, you've got your physical recovery, and then you've got your fitness and exercise, and then your mental health component. So looking at that model of wellness there, and then we've got some more that we're going to be adding to expand upon that.
Hold that thought. We're going to get back to the CrossFit psychological component. You're listening to the True 7 Life Podcast. I'm your host, Tavares Hogans, and we are here with Dr. Christina Cuss. Got to give a shout out to my guy, DJ. This segment is brought to you by Hello Smooth Med Spa, where they do the best lips in Florida. www.hellosmooth.com, and tell them you heard it here on the True 7 Life Podcast. Dr. Migliar, we're going to go into two segments briefly. One is called Rapid Fire, and the next one is called This or That. I'm going to throw some questions at you, and you have to respond rapidly.
Okay. So, you know, that's contrary to what we say in mental health, by the way.
Well, let's just go off the radar for a short moment. The item you can't live without and why?
CrossFit.
And why?
Because it's part of my daily routine. I need a barbell. I need a rig. I need to have that in my life.
Favorite word and why?
I don't know if I could say it on the radio.
You can't. But why?
Because it's a good release for me. Actually, no, I lied. Empowerment. That's my favorite word.
You're number one.
I can
one
say that. The number one favorite word I can actually say on the radio is empowerment.
Awesome. And why empowerment?
Because it is such a strong word that it really truly defines our capabilities, and empowerment leads to freedom.
Other than being a bad A entrepreneur, what else did you want to be when you were growing up?
Actually, I really wanted to be a midwife. That was my first dream.
What do you think about that now?
I mean, I still think it's a cool thing, and it would just definitely make me feel like a bad A. But I really do feel like I found my passion and my why, so I don't regret my decision.
That's awesome. Room, desk, and car, which do you clean first?
probably my room.
Why your room?
Because it's where I hang out. It's where I sleep, and I can't have clutter when I go to bed.
What's your cheat meal?
Pizza.
I knew that. And last, what's your Starbucks order?
Grande caramel latte with almond milk.
Awesome. You're off the hot seat. You did a great job.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry I wasn't as rapid. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so used to processing.
This next section is called This or That, and you have to choose one or the other. Oh, you can't say both or neither. You have to choose one or the other. And this segment is brought to you by True 7 CBD, relief 7 days a week. Business or casual?
Casual.
Vacation or staycation?
Vacation.
Florida or New York?
Oh, man. Florida.
Nancy, Helen, or Annie?
Oh, my gosh. Nancy. Sorry, I had to think about that. That's my favorite.
Bench press or squats?
Squats.
Front squats or back squats?
Back squats.
Squats or squat cleans?
Squat cleans.
Fruits or veggies?
Fruits.
Run, bike, or row?
Row.
And that's it. You're off the hot
man, that's that one was a little bit easier. The first few was a little tough, but then it got easier.
Okay, business or casual? You went with casual. Talk to us about that.
You know, I guess because I'm used to being just sort of laid back. I'm a very laid back person, and so I like being comfortable.
You went vacation over staycation?
I love to travel. I love to see the world. It just opens your eyes just so much more. And I love to educate. So to me, that's one of the best forms of educating yourself is to be able to travel.
Florida versus New York. This was a tumultuous decision.
It was. They both have my heart, but Florida is where I'm originally from. So it's what I know. And I think I've just kind of realized that this is where I'm meant to be.
And why were you torn over New York?
Because I love New York. It's like my second home. And I have a lot of my friends up there still, and I miss them tremendously. And there's elements of New York that I do miss.
Oh, yeah. And you chose Nancy over Helen and Annie.
Oh, yeah. Nancy, overhead squats. I love overhead squats. It's my favorite movement.
Squats over bench.
Well, you know, got to keep that peach alive.
And then back squats over front squats.
Well, you just feel like a beast when you back squat.
And then squat cleans. Talk to me about those.
I love squat cleans. I mean, I don't mind power cleans or power snatches, but I've always been better at squatting my cleans or my snatches. So I just prefer them.
And then I didn't ask this one, but push press or cleans?
Cleans.
Cleans, yeah. Again. Cleans. For the same reason.
Cleans for the win. Yeah, for the same reason.
Fruits over veggies.
I know
sugar
veggies.
Over protein.
I know. I've just never been a veggie person. I've always loved fruit. I'll eat my veggies.
When you're forced to.
When I need to.
And you went rowing over running and biking.
Well, I mean, you've been on an Echo bike, so that's just not even debatable unless you're Jason. He's just the oddball that likes the bike. And I've never liked running. I'm not a good runner. Mm-hmm. I'm just not fast. So I feel more empowered when I'm on the rower, I guess, as opposed to those three.
I like it. Now, let's go back. You were talking about the psychological component of CrossFit. Let's dig into that.
So that's part of one of the main reasons why I became a CrossFit gym affiliate owner is because from the way I look at things, sort of how, you know, you see the matrix, it's all psychology unfolding in front of you. Their particular methodology and the way that they've designed CrossFit between the workouts, the community, all those different elements that go along with being a part of an affiliate truly embody a lot of the psychological empowerment and positivity that we need in terms of socialization. And so I just find that it's just one of the best ways in which you can become healthy. Most of them, you know, with the right leadership, of course, have that type of environment. When you walk in, you're going to feel welcomed. You're going to feel empowered. You get the best of all worlds in the sense of you've got, you know, the individualized coaching. So you're just not off and doing your own thing. So there's that relationship that you need, that mentorship that goes along. You have the community, which is the socialization. And we thrive on that. We're social creatures. We need connection. we release, you know, a trifecta of hormones when we are connecting with one another through conversation, through touch, through just being around one another that you can't get anywhere else. So when you're here in a community, in a group, and you're talking before and after workouts, and your friends are cheering for you when they're done, that just creates a whole social positive psychology that is just indescribable, that you can't find in any form of fitness. I've never seen it. And I've done a lot of different things in my life. And then you've got the actual results that come out of it. And you just feel better about yourself. You know, you're feeling really good. And the methodology behind the workouts actually work. They show you that you're capable. You get stronger. You lose weight. You gain muscle. And muscle looks good on everyone, men and women. I mean, muscle is just a beautiful thing to have. It's, you know, that fit life is unlike anything. So that empowerment that you get out of CrossFit is incomparable. It's just nothing I've ever seen happen like it. And I love watching the transformation that occurs at our facility. And we have such a good group and we have such a great facility that it's impossible for toxicity to live there. Impossible. And it's so cool.
For sure. I'm interested to see what my transformation will be. What drew me to CrossFit was just the aggression of some of the movements. But quickly, I realized, because the workouts can be extremely difficult, especially for someone coming off the street. But I just love, for me, the mental aspect of coming in and seeing an extremely difficult workout and just wondering, how in the heck am I going to get through it, and just being able to grind through a workout. So for me, that's what I love about CrossFit.
Well, says the guy who, when he first started, said, hey, I'm just going to do this for a month and then I'm going to go over to kickboxing. And I said, okay. And then, like, you've never left.
I mean, I still need to go to boxing, but yeah, it is hard to leave.
It's hard to leave. That's the thing. Once you get here, you realize how amazing it is and how much more there is to do, and that you won't just get it all in a month, that there's always something to be working on. And yes, the workouts are challenging. I like that word better than hard. They challenge you to better yourself, but that's what it's about. And everything is modifiable. It's scalable so that we can all be working towards the same stimulus and all be a part of a group and be doing the same thing in a modified way. And so there's like a multitude of levels of athleticism under one roof in one group. And you don't have to feel, you know, ashamed of it. You can feel good about what you're doing, knowing that, you know, we're all working on ourselves individually. So while we're here collectively and we're supporting each other collectively, we have our individual goals and we're working on that. The only person we're competing with is ourselves. How can I be a little bit better than the last month or the last week? And, you know, says the guy who's been doing this for 3 months, a couple months, and has strung bar muscle ups just the other day. I mean, that's incredible. It takes people years to do that kind of a movement.
Yeah. Honestly, for me, it was all mental. I knew I had the strength, but I had to understand the movement and understand the workout. And sometimes to get through to my brain, you have to go through unorthodox methods. It took four coaches to get me to complete one bar muscle up.
That's four amazing coaches then. The fact that four coaches were able to talk to you and you were able to get it in a couple of months is a testament to how powerful the psychology of what we do here is. And when you have good people, you know, good quality coaches and empowering you, you can do anything. So our first step when you come here is not to throw you in to putting weight on the bar or doing hard workouts. It's to empower you to feel good about yourself and tap into your potentials. It's the psychological piece first. Because once you get someone feeling good mentally and feeling a little bit more confident, they will, as a result, just a byproduct of that, organically push themselves to try a little bit more and a little bit more and step out of that comfort zone, because they've gained your trust, they feel comfortable, and they know that you're not going to steer them in the wrong direction. And the environment is conducive to that, that they're willing to push themselves a little bit. If you can't create that, then people are going to be very apprehensive to want to try, especially if they feel like they're going to be judged or you know, yelled at or condescended. You know, they're just not going to put themselves out there, so they're never going to see what they truly can become.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can agree with that. Doctor, what was the period of time like when you realized that you had to start a business for yourself? Like, where were you? What happened? What was the trigger?
I was in a good place as a mom. So I had my two boys, and for me, the timing was right. I had raised them working as a department chair for an online college, working remotely, and I did that for about 8 years. My kids, you know, I knew I didn't want any more kids. We had grown our family to where we wanted it to be. So I felt that I could take that on. My husband was doing really well in his career. You know, for me to be the mom that I wanted to be, I wanted to have an environment that was conducive to being with my kids. So that was really important to me. So I was able to find a job that gave me that outlet while he was able to go out more because he travels as a pilot. And somebody had to be with the kids, you know, can't just give them a bowl of Cheerios and water. So it worked out well. And then it came to a point where I got really burnt. I was burning out on the educational side of things. So, you know, every few years was, you know, that kind of happened prior to. And I realized that I have such high moral and ethical standards that I was finding it very hard to find a company or an organization or someone within the field of what I'm doing that embodied the same as me. And if I can't do it right and I can't feel good about it, then I can't do it. I'm just one of those people that it doesn't sit well with me, and I'm very connected to my gut. So it's hard to stay in a toxic environment. I did it for as long as I needed to, but I said, that's it. Like, we've got, something's got to change. So I have an amazing and supportive husband. He's extremely...
DJ.
He is extremely empowering as a man and as a husband. And we were in a place where I could do that. So he said, you know what? It's your turn. You've supported me. I'm where I want to be. I'm happy. And it's my turn to support you. So if this is what you want to do. And I said, I do. So we started that journey 2 years ago. Well, I had already been practicing part-time, but I was ready to level up. I was ready to take my practice to full-time, take this whole wellness center, the CrossFit affiliate, do it all. And that was about 2 years ago where I was ready to go big. I'm like, go big or I'm not doing anything. I'm retiring. And he's like, you can't retire. I'm like, fine, then we're going big.
Okay, DJ, you're not such a bad guy.
No.
Speaking of DJ, a lot of people in the CrossFit community, guys and girls alike, they talk about meeting their spouses here at CrossFit or being able to interact with their spouses through CrossFit. You mentioned having your husband, DJ, join you in CrossFit as one of your favorite moments. Tell us why that was important to you.
Because he was... So I started CrossFit, and for about 6 months, you know, he's like, I'm not going to do that. He minimized it because we used to go to the gym, you know, before kids many of times. We'd work out in the, you know, neighborhood, just your classic like home stuff. And we never liked that environment. We didn't know what we were doing. We never saw results, or not to the extent we wanted. And so those models never worked for us. And he just thought this was going to be one more of those. Like, it's just not really going to do it. I don't have time. Well, I started going and having a blast, and I could not stop talking about it. I made all my friends. We were new to the area, and we didn't really have a lot of friends. We had one friend, you know, we had just moved to this area. And he's like, who is Sarah? Who is this? Who is this person? I'm like, I'm going to coffee after CrossFit.
You do what you want to do.
You do whatever. And he's just wondering. He's on the road, and I'm talking about all these people, and I'm saying all these fun things that I'm doing in addition to working out. And he's just wondering, like, just curiosity, I think, is really what drew him in. And he saw some transformation. I was able to lose a lot of the weight from my second child. And he's like, wow, not only are you losing weight, but you're happy. You are making friends. Like, okay, fine, I will try it. And this apprehensive guy who is just really not that athletic, you know, it's not in his nature. I mean, he hadn't really done much except for, you know, recreational soccer here and there. And when he was younger, came in and loved it and just got so hook, line and sinker, and has never stopped. And it became our thing.
That's so crazy. You would never know. Like, he's the number one CrossFit advocate in the world. I mean, he's like cheering everybody on. He knows every movement. This is crazy.
It's true. He didn't know anything. And he's, you know, he's been doing it for a little less than I have, maybe about 6 to 9 months less than me. And he just absolutely loves it. It's part of his daily routine. It's our thing, you know, together. I mean, we would go to class together before we owned a gym, and then we'd go out to breakfast or just have our time when the kids were in school. And so it very much became a couple's thing that we did together. And we know that our health is so important, and it has to be first. Yeah. Health and wellness. Like, that is our commitment to each other, because we realize that if we're both feeling healthy and we're both mentally well, which we get a lot out of our physical exercise, we're better for each other. We're better for our kids. We're better for our careers. And so it's this trickle-down effect. And that's kind of that self-care, understanding that you've got to put yourself first. And by doing that and taking care of yourself, you're actually doing, a service to everyone in your life. By not putting yourself first, you do everyone a disservice, because then they don't get the best side of you. They get this grumpy, curmudgeon-y side of you, and nobody wants to be around you.
It's interesting. So by not putting yourself first, you're actually being selfish.
Yes, 100%. You got it.
That's crazy.
Bingo. And this is the conversation I'm trying very hard to help people to understand, because they don't get that.
Yeah.
They think that if I put myself first, then I'm selfish. Yeah. And that is so far from the truth. Like, so far from the truth.
Yeah. Speaking of, you wear a lot of hats, multiple business owner, wife, mom, friend. How do you find time for yourself when you don't feel like dealing with DJ and you don't feel like dealing with the kids? How?
So I actually find a lot of time for myself, believe it or not. In all of that you just named and more, believe it or not, I do find time for myself, because I'm a person who practices what they preach. Mm-hmm. And I understand that if I don't put myself first, I won't be good for anyone. Right. I won't be a good owner. I won't be a good therapist. I won't be a good mom, a good wife, or any of those things. I will fail at all those things. I will be unhappy. So I make sure now, week to week, does it vary? Sure. Am I training as much as I want to be? Sometimes no. Sometimes I get a break and I'm like, yes, I get to get my 5 days in. And sometimes it's only two or three. But I never stop. I always make sure that I have some training during the week. My physical activity is super important for me. So I will get into the gym, which is why I love the Elite Wellness Center. I love having both my businesses under one roof, because I can costume change and I can coach and then change and come see clients. And then in between my clients, jump over to the gym and do my own workout and then shower and then change back over and see more clients. I just, my two biggest words that are super important to me, and that I make sure that I share this within the work that I do with others, is balance and boundaries. I have very clear boundaries and I balance my life very well. If I don't, then I will not be able to do what I do. And the only reason why I'm as successful as I am is because I really cherish those two words and I make them part of my mantra. So I get my physical exercise in. I'm a big person that needs their rest. I have to rest. If I don't sleep, watch out. So my husband jokes all the time that I go to bed, you know, like an old lady. Sometimes they're a little early, but it doesn't bother me. I'm totally content with going to sleep. In my mind, nothing good comes after, 9 o'clock anyway. So you're just bound for trouble at that point. So there's no purpose for me to be out and about. I'm in bed.
My wife would disagree. Who was it? It was Shaquille O'Neal and Mike Tyson. They were both on Shark Week after 9 o'clock. So she would say that's one good thing that happens after 9 o'clock.
Yeah, true. I mean, I say 9, but I'm in bed by 9. I'm asleep by like 10:30. But rest is important to me. Eating well, being with my family, with my friends, and balancing out my work plus my personal life. I do that pretty well. Nothing ever is too much. I don't participate in a lot of alcohol consumption, very little, maybe casually, no drugs, nothing that is going to impact my ability to be the best version of myself. So a very healthy, balanced life.
I want to make sure we go back and say this. So in addition to making mental health part of the conversation and changing the way we talk about mental health, we also need to reemphasize that a me first mentality is not selfish.
Correct. Correct. Hey, listen, and your physical health, like going for your checkups, seeing your doctors. I just, did mine the other day and my doc told me I had better cholesterol than her and she was very proud of me. So I was like, sweet, I'm doing, you've got to take care of yourself. You've got to do your checkups. You've got to do your daily routines, eating well, sleeping well, socialization. I'm surrounded by great people. That's a big part of it. I have no room in my life for toxicity. Mm-hmm. Any of that, you're gone.
Yeah.
I can be completely respectful and mindful of the people that I come and encounter with. You won't see me ever really, being a jerk or, you know, but that doesn't mean you're going to be part of my life, right? So my circle, my people, it's they're very important to me. They're very true and dear to my heart, and I don't let a lot in because I'm very selective, because I can't function at the best if I don't have good people in my life. So I try to be very mindful about who I have in my circle.
For sure. Coach, what do you love about being a mom?
Oh, man. My boys are just the best. I love the challenge. It's the most rewarding and the most challenging thing you'll ever do in your entire life. I mean, you think about the biggest workout you've ever tried and like times that by 100. There's parenthood for you right there. There's a lot of growth and a lot of opportunity. And it's just so fascinating to be able to try to be a part of, you know, the development of a human. I mean, that's incredible. Probably why I like working with people. It's the same reasons, you know, the transformation to see them grow into whoever, the best version of whoever they're meant to be is just so fascinating to me. I love it.
It's so enjoyable watching them when they were having the kids camp, like just nagging and not staying in line. And you're like, guys, you're representing me. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Of course, my kids are the ones that were out of line. The other kids were the ones that were conforming. I'm like, oh, goodness. No, but they're free spirits. And it's cool because when I was a kid, I went to work a lot with my parents. Mm-hmm. My dad owned a restaurant, so I was constantly going to work with him and, you know, getting to see things. And he let me be a part of things. And I have very distinct memories of being a part of that process. I grew up with entrepreneurial, you know, parents and grandparents. They didn't have education. I'm the first person to ever have a college degree, let alone a doctorate degree. Mm-hmm. Nobody in my family has that. And I come from a big Sicilian Italian family, so we have lots of family members. So it's pretty big of a deal for me to have done and do what I've done. And so to take my kids and have them be a part of this process and see what it's like to work hard for something, to be a part of that entrepreneurial life and, you know, just enjoy that and come to work with mom and dad. And, you know, it's really fun. It teaches them a lot. I felt like it taught me a lot as a kid, too.
Oh, yeah. And they enjoy being here.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Migliar, for those listening that desire to get in touch with you, how can we find you?
So you can find us at 5530-1 Florida Mining Boulevard South in Jacksonville, Florida. That's where we're located. We are at the Elite Wellness Center. You can find us via my website at cwmediationandtherapy.com for the mental health services, or at crossfittailwinds.com for the CrossFit gym. The Elite Wellness Center also has a website that has all of the businesses there that'll take you to each individual's page as well. We're on social media, so you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Coastwise Mediation and Therapy, and CrossFit _ Tailwinds. You can call us. We have Coastwise Mediation and Therapy 904-540-3898 or CrossFit Tailwinds at 904-891-0781. That's pretty much it. Or email us. Do people still email? Sometimes.
I'm old, so.
But all that information is located on our websites as well.
Coach Migs, what can I do for you?
What can you do for me? Just keep being you. You're an awesome person. We love your vibe. We're all about, you know, good vibes around here. I call it our good vibe tribe. And if you're going to be here, you got to be prepared to good vibe with us, or you got to take that elsewhere.
I appreciate that. Let's wrap up with a quick life tip. What do you have for us?
Life tip. So it's kind of a combo. One, don't ever let anyone tell you can't do or be what you want to be. You can do anything. Two, your biggest chance at being able to accomplish that would be to empower yourself. And the best way to do that is to put your mental health first and take that journey. As challenging as that may be, it's the most rewarding and the most freeing you'll ever feel on the other side of change.
The True 7 Life podcast has been brought to you by Hello Smooth Medical Spa and True 7 CBD. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share this podcast with all of your colleagues, friends, and family. Thanks for listening in. We'll see you in 2 weeks. True 7 Nation, would you help us out and share this podcast with everyone looking for a bit of inspiration in this journey called True 7 Life? Success could be the next door you open, the next phone call you take, or the next meeting you book. I often say, you can't continue to do good things, string together positive activity, and not reap a bountiful harvest. You are what you think you are. Let's be great and spread True 7 Life to as many people as we can. You've been listening to the True 7 Life Podcast, a podcast featuring business heroes making an impact. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Thanks for your time. We love you.